Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Sorry, anytime I get an email right before the show that contains the phrase, I'm sadder than a possum inside a gunny sack. You know, it's going to be a good day, my friends. All right, it's 42 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of May, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a party listening day. Live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid States Radio, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. This, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, Romans and countrymen, children of all ages. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Let me give you them their phone numbers. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email? You can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. If you'd like to take part in today's program. And a big program it is. It's, I have to tell you, and I know we've said this many times, I have probably the biggest geek news of the year. It's geek news that will equally titillate and infuriate you, though, as all of it, because it contains the word Lucas. And so it really is the best of times, the worst of times. Anytime you go to the news, something that comes across the wire, as they used to say, with George Lucas's name involved in it. Like, you start to get excited, but at the same time, your hand starts clutching as though you're brandishing a sword. So we got big geek news coming today. We're going to be doing Glengarry Glen Ross in 60 seconds, you bastards. And I don't care whether you want to hear it. I don't care whether it appeals to a single person. I did it. I spent time producing it. It's not easy what I do. You try condensing a David Mamet movie into 60 seconds. Sons of bitches. You fairy. You company man. So we'll do that later on today. Glengarry Glen Ross in 60 seconds. A story containing the phrase, my skin was on fire. We've also got a fantastic penis watch today. And you know, I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. It's a legendary penis. Quite literally, a historic penis. Or an historic penis, as television journalists mistakenly say. We've also got CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be here. And we'll welcome a new member of the Rick Emerson family from CNN Radio, Washington, D.C. We'll be talking to the one and only Bob Costantini, who is in for Lisa Goddard, who is off somewhere composing heart-stricken poetry about her denied love for me. What else do we have? Well, that's it. And we got Likas coming up at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be gracing us with her presence later on in the day, etc., etc., so on and so forth, and various and sundry forms of whimsicality and entertainment, because it's what we do here at the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, we will also be answering the magical question, what is a dude house anyway? The only reason is because there's this whole saga with Sarah and Nate, and then the house, and then the hoe, and then not having a house, and then they're broken up, and now they're back together, and then he's going to live with Kyle, and now he's not. So we have, I don't have time to uncork it right now, because
we didn't break up.
You broke up for like an hour.
We did not.
See, now this is retrofitting is what this is. This is revisionist.
No, I just didn't. I just never corrected you because you kept babbling. I'm like, all right, he's making things up. I'll just go along with the flow.
Okay.
I wasn't spoken to for like 20 minutes.
See, I thought there was this awkward tunnel of time we went through where we're going to be eating dinner for one. All right, well, in any event. So now we're morally obligated to find Sarah's boyfriend a place to live, and which I thought we had done. I thought we had accomplished it with our good friend, former intern Kyle, who offered up his dude house, which is going to be one dude light, I guess, as of now. And so we were going to have Nate move in there. Didn't happen. The upshot of all of this is, though, is I got all this correspondence, both from men and from women, by the way, about the phrase dude house. And what it means. So we'll try to explicate that later on. Sarah Dillon is dropping food onto herself as we speak.
On the floor. Not on me.
Okay.
Well, that's acceptable.
All of that is coming up, and we'll talk about the how to construct the perfect country song. Sarah Dillon is here running the show flawlessly, without error. Chiming in. Bringing her wit to the table. Weighing in is only... Okay, thank you. Well, there you go. And that's the sort of magic that keeps her employed here at CBS Radio Portland. At the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley, working on the following stories for your edification today.
A Florida millionaire wrestles an alligator to amuse his guests and loses. A fast food employee throws grease on the customer. The stars take pay cuts as Americans lose interest in the movies. And a long-lost famous penis is found.
There you go. And how can you say no to that? How in any reality, how in any slice of your life, in any universe, in any frame of thought or mind, can you turn down that? The answer is you cannot, my friends. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And after much delay, sometime in the 1 o'clock hour. Because I can't let, I can let a day, 2 days sometimes. I can't let 10 days go by without getting to the Xbox file. So we'll play that without fail later on today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go for the man, the legend, the way of life. Tim Riley at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents... The City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. You realize that Scott McClellan is still on the job?
I thought he was already gone by now.
Oh, no, he's still around.
Does he even have to show up? It's like, what are they really going to do? What do they going to do?
He does. He hands out press releases.
What more punishment could there be than to be the White House spokesperson for the last several years?
Well, you know, this new guy, Tony Snow, wants to get rid of all televised press conferences.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Are they just going to have like a big metal door with it, like a sliding grate, and he will just slide out the news every day written on stone tablets? Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's going to be.
Just send smoke signals.
Well, in a news briefing, Scott McClellan was asked about a $700 million allocation for a railroad in Mississippi and $4 billion for farmers.
When we spelled out in our statement of administration policy our concerns about some of the spending and how we believe that should not be included in the emergency legislation. I would refer you back to the statement of administration policy. I know we specifically referred to, I think, those two items in that statement we put out.
He's not
informative,
even,
isn't it?
He's not even trying anymore. He's just reading it. You know what it is? This is like the difference between a newsman who takes wire copy and rewrites it, tries to give it his own polish, his own flavor, does it Tim Riley style, and the guy who does a morning show who just goes and reads it straight off of FARC.
As fast as he can so he can sit down and make phone calls and look for the job. We've all worked with people like that.
I'm not saying Dave Paul.
I'm
sorry.
We weren't even thinking about that.
Oh. No, of course not. I don't even know who we were talking about, but we've all worked with that guy, and there's a phrase in the radio industry called rip and read. And the rip and... See, kids, back in the day, we didn't have your fancy internets. We had this thing called an AP wire, and the AP wire was a terrible dot matrix printer that went down 5, 6, 7 times a day, didn't work properly, paper jammed, and it was printed on the cheap-ass...
It used a whole forest of trees every day.
Remember that paper you had in grade school where there was, like, wood chips in it? You know, it's like the real soft paper that they would give you when you were in first grade and you weren't even really able to write properly without stabbing yourself in the eye with a Crayola? That's what the kind of paper it used, and it just cranked out news constantly. News which you were, I think, legally obligated to rewrite. I think it was some sort of thing where you, like, technically speaking, I think you had to sit down and actually compose it yourself using their information. But no one ever did that. Everybody just went to the AP wire, ripped it off, sat down, read the news, went into the Molly Hatchet record, and then they went back to scanning the back pages of R&R, desperately trying to get a job in some other market. That was never successful, by the way.
Oh, Zacharias Moussaoui, yes, he's still in the news because of some of the things he said yesterday, such as, God curse America. God save Osama bin Laden, you'll never get him. But the judge, Leone Brinkman, told him he would die in a whimper. So, Moussaoui said again, God curse America.
He's only got the one line.
Oh, he has a couple of others here, too. God save Osama bin Laden, you'll never get him. I will be free, and my liberation will be proof that we are soldiers of God, and you are the army of Satan. Meanwhile, President Bush noted the benefits of prayer.
Hold on, I'm writing these down for potential band names. Army of... I gotta be thinking of stuff for 666 when it comes up next month. Army of Satan. All right, I'm sorry, Bush, what?
Noted the benefits of such prayer.
Okay.
Prayer is a gift from Almighty God that transforms us. whether we bow our heads in solitude or offer swift and silent prayers in times of trial.
Why was she saying this?
Because it's the National Day of Prayer.
When?
Today. Everyone say a prayer.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
Okay. Moment of silence. We have plenty of that.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Then there's talk of a student militia with shotguns on the campus of the State University of New York at New Platts. Several student leaders say it's their right to organize a militia, pointing out what they described as decades of abuse of students by administrators and local police.
Where's this at?
New York State.
Okay.
So they say they're being abused, so they want to form their own militia.
Abused what? Like they're being paddled or something?
Apparently so, yes. State officials say state law and SUNY policy, that's the State University of New York, prohibit firearms, and all regulations will be enforced. The top leaders of student government are those supporting the militia.
I don't understand. Why is... Normally, a militia is... there's some guy living in a tree somewhere, mm-hmm. and he's got an Airstream trailer, and there's a bunch of other guys who all look like they should be working in a radio engineering department.
No, this is going mainstream.
They're walking around. They've got ill-fitting dungarees on. They're mm-hmm. carrying sidearms and calling him Führer,
right.
and they all believe that feminism is a mass psychosis foisted upon us by the Russians.
No, this is the New Knights of Columbus.
Just a fraternal men's... Yeah, I thought we'd seen the last of it.
Spaghetti dinner every Friday night.
See, you don't understand. See, you're not from here, Tim. You don't know what it's like. I grew up in the Northwest, yeah. and you have no... Sarah, how long have you lived in the Northwest?
Oh, God. Off and on my whole life.
All right. So you weren't here for the stupid Randy Weaver thing when he was, boarded up in there screaming something about Jesus appearing to him on a Triscuit or whatever.
Those crazy people poisoning salad bars.
There was the Salman Rushdie. That's exactly... Not Salman Rushdie. The Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh.
We just have Ted Kennedy drowning secretary.
No. And how many secretaries could he possibly drown? 5, 6, maybe?
There might be more, for all we know. Massachusetts is an ocean state.
I always thought there should be a band called the Chappaquiddicks, you know?
I'm sure there is.
Or the Kopechnes. Mm-hmm. I'd go see that band. There ought to be some Republican band called the Kopechnes. That'd show stones. No, but it, growing up, and it's just such a, it's a source of endless shame and embarrassment. You know what it is? All the nutcase conservatives here in the Northwest, they're all like the crazy ant in Pet Sematary. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You see Pet Sematary?
Yeah, the crazy ant.
The crazy ant with what she had, spina something or other, bifida? Isn't that what she had?
I'm just guessing.
And she's all up in the... You know, like every family has a crazy old person. It's like a grandmother, an aunt, and they think that they're the reincarnation of St. Jerome. And it's, they make things embarrassing when you bring your girlfriend over and they're out front throwing their own waste
Which
at the postman.
Which one was Edward Furlong in? He was in the second one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We've gone so far afield into the pets. My point is that all the nutcase militia guys are just an endless source of embarrassment to all of us who live here in the Northwest and have functioning brainstems.
Shouldn't East Coast people have them?
And living in Spokane was the worst of all, man. It's like, and doing talk radio in Spokane in the mid-90s, it was like being consigned to a living, breathing, walking, smoldering hell on earth.
Outsiders want to take over Spokane.
It's not like Spokane is some vacation resort as it is, all right? Spokane, city slogan, only 3 fingers lost in this year's harvest. And yet you add in just all of the Montana, the Freeman guys were up there. My point is I thought we had left that embarrassing section of American history and we moved on.
We've moved on to the East Coast. That's where this is taking place.
Well, fine.
So let's hear from these students who want to organize their own militia. It's cut number 3.
Most people know, and we want to emphasize, that there is no cause for concern because it's absolutely against the law for students to have firearms on campus. It's state law and our campus policy.
Who are you being managed by if you're on a campus in New York City? What, the dry cleaning isn't back on time? I don't exactly what your bagels aren't quite toasted evenly on both sides. The lox is out of date. What is there to complain about in New York City? You got to be having a militia.
There's not enough pastrami.
These blintzes are stale. I don't understand.
Take your tickets to Letterman.
My textbook is covered in schmutz. Whatever. Whatever, dude. Have at it. We have entered this phase of American history where you can no longer just be carrying a gun around at school, by the way. I was talking to Alicia at the front desk about this the other day. No, I don't know if you, if it was this way, was it when you went to school, probably was maybe when Sarah went to school. You weren't in school during Columbine, were you?
Yes, I was. Remember?
Was that a bad time? Oh, yeah. That's right. You were a senior.
No, I was a freshman.
A freshman.
In high school?
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, I was a freshman. My friends and I... we're all sitting around the TV to watch the episode of The X-Files that Stephen King.
Right.
Yeah, that he had directed, and then all of a sudden it's like dead kids everywhere.
Now, did you have kids at your school who were posing with guns in the yearbook?
No.
See, we totally did.
Wait, no, I'm talking about freshmen in college, though. You know.
Oh, no, okay. But no, I mean, in high school. No, in high school, you look at my high school yearbook, and it's like every third. There are only four poses when you're a dude. I can't speak for women. Women, it was just a lot of lip gloss and, like, badness. And blue eyeshadow. But if you were a guy in my hometown posing in the high school yearbook, there were only four poses. There was the, a jock boy at leisure, like, posing. Like it with your Letterman jacket. There was guy posing with guitar. Every school has that guy. There was me, which is guy in black trench coat, desperately wishing he was somewhere else, just praying to sweet Jehovah that he can graduate. And then there was guy with gun. And there are probably 15 different guys in my senior class. It just sounds ludicrous when you think about it. And it's not just the gun. It's always just some ludicrous, like, redneck meets hustler meets, like, bad late 80s production values. Literally, in my high school yearbook, there is a guy posing on top of a Camaro holding a rifle, which just seems absurd. I mean, it's freaking stupid. There's no way you could do that now. But it was the height of Kennewick elegance.
Jeez.
Let's move on.
Well, I guess so. Back in my day, the main discussions were whether or not to wear a striped or solid tie.
Yeah, but you didn't even go to a real school. You went to a prep school.
That's true, too.
Did you have a little crest on your jacket?
I did.
Yeah, fantastic. All right.
Kind of look like Century 21.
Yeah.
Well, a Tucson couple is relieved that a dig through a landfill has paid off. Bill and Barbara Davis spent more than 4 hours yesterday searching for four of Barbara's diamond rings that Bill accidentally threw away. The two were able to find out where the garbage from their home was dumped. So, off to the dump they went. They went through hundreds of trash bags. The long search proved frustrating, and Barbara Davis decided to get some help from a higher source.
I said, God, I hate to pray for something of material value.
Well, it is National Prayer Day.
Please help me find the ring.
And about a minute later,
there they were.
God spoke.
Right between
Bill discovered the
melon
the
rind
in
a
bag,
show.
Wrapped in a paper towel. Now he's allowed back in the couple's home.
Okay. I don't understand. She's apparently being interviewed inside of a turban somewhere.
I said, God, I hate to pray for something of material value.
That's God blowing all the trash out.
Please help me find the ring.
Okay.
It's the parting of the trash.
All right. There you go. Landfills are fascinating. Speaking of Kennewick, landfills are fascinating when you're a kid. I guess they sort trash now. Because they do that recycling thing now. At some point in the American the evolution, the boxes just started appearing in offices everywhere. Different piles for different things. Different boxes for different types of paper. And I don't know about you, but I don't pay attention to any of it. It all goes into one big pile in the trash, and the guys come and take it away at night. But when I was a kid, man, it's like there was just the one. It's not like my hometown is really worth preserving. It's not like it's a grotto or something that's really got to be shepherded through this life. But there's one big hole in the center of town, and it's all day long. You would just see guys in trucks. Didn't matter. There's probably hundreds of bodies in it. Nobody ever suspected it. Nobody went through it. It's just a gigantic hole in the ground where everybody just dumped all their crap. And so my dad would go out there to dump stuff, and I would be like, can I go to the landfill with you? Because the landfill is fascinating. When you're like 10 years old, and you would go there but the disturbing part about the landfill was not just the endless cavalcade of trucks and guys dumping all manner of strange and oddly shaped boxes and bags into the landfill. It was the endless parade of people leaving the landfill with trucks full of treasures that they found to take on home. Some item they're going to take home and give a good hosing, and then it's going to sit on a coffee table and impress the neighbors for the rest of their life.
You ought to go to the St. John's landfill. It is the best one I've ever seen. It has different warehouses for different items.
They're really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? It's an actual warehouse?
Yeah, it's a big long warehouse that you dump things in.
We should totally do it, a field trip
to
a landfill. I've got these, I read this email. Did I read this? About the guy who wants to take us to see sewage?
I think you talked about it. I don't know if you read
it. Wait, here we go.
Like, I had to dump some things off there from a tenant who wanted to start a methamphetamine lab, who I cut in time and dismantled what he had put together. No questions asked. I just loaded it in my trunk and put it down, and they took it.
Did
and
you?
Smiled.
Well, there's got to be a whole, they must have a whole section for that.
They must.
There must be a guy at the front. There must be, you know, you must be coffee grounds on the left, meth lab on the right.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to discover that he was building a meth lab? First of all, how would you even know that it was a meth lab he was building?
Well, there are pieces to build a meth lab.
Is it like coming like a kid? Is it like the Lego Star Wars thing where you build
a
castle?
You put together. You know, you got the blow torches and you got the big cylinders, and then you got the canning jars. And
so it looks like that thing on MASH that they drank gin out of in a swamp.
Yeah, they just never got to put it together. I kicked them off before they got to.
Did you have to have a militia go help you? Okay. And then you just put it all in the truck.
I just took it to the dump, no questions asked. They didn't ask me what it was. I think they've seen everything before. They just unloaded it piece by piece and said, thank you, call again. I said, in my neighborhood, you can bet that's going
to
happen.
Well, it's like those gun buyback programs where you go to swap guns with the, you know, it's like bringing a gun, get a head of lettuce or whatever the cops are doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you'll see, you know, here's some guy bringing in an assault rifle. Here you go. I was just in the attic. I'm getting rid of something. I'm tightening the belt. So we've got this. Rick, this is why our audience is fantastic, by the way. It's why this program has found a proud home here at CBS Radio Portland. Rick, if it's sewage you're looking for, I can find it for you. I work on a daily basis doing engineering work with wastewater treatment plants. In addition, as part of one of my professional associations, I have planned tours of sewage treatment plants in similar facilities for the last 2 years. I have some connections in the area, and I can probably get a small tour group into any one of the number of the nearby treatment plants. If you wish to pursue this further, let me know. That's from Rob. So there you go. So we'll have to set that, and we'll do
that.
Do you
get the little iPod with the guided tour and the headphones?
You know, where you stand in front of the thing and you press in 3,
yep.
And it says, solid waste screen. All right. So there you go. We'll do that, then landfill, then, then cheese factory. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And because we're locally oriented, Johnson Ridge Observatory, just 5 miles from the crater of Mount St. Helens, reopens tomorrow as the park service shifts into summer hours. And you will see a steaming, fuming, huge slab of granite there and a glacier. And there's a big giant slab there. You can see it on my website today. It's brand new. And eventually it's going to topple over from its weight and kill all the tourists. So see it while you can.
I just love the phrase, if you go to my website, you can see a big giant steaming slab.
Yep, you can. Okay. It's there today. Daily admittance will be $3 for those 16 and over. And let's see here. May 18th will be a free day at the monument in remembrance of the 26th anniversary. Oh, we're going to go through this again. The 26th anniversary of the 1980 eruption. Nearly 230 square miles of forest blown down and buried beneath, and a couple of crazy people were killed who wouldn't leave.
Rick, why don't you just have a band called the Dead Kopechnes? That's fantastic. Oh, that's
genius.
I like
that, too.
All right. Isn't Sarah worried that guys will be calling in offering a place for Nate just because they want to have Sarah Dillon's boyfriend as their roommate in hopes that they can sell her Left Behind under things on eBay and give her long, lingering looks when she comes over? Long, lingering looks. Let's see. We've also got this. How soon before, a new segment. Rick, how soon before we get the sultry jazz back for Therapist Confidential? I was promised Sarah's therapist. Where is Sarah's therapist? I want Sarah's therapist. Sarah? Are you still grumpy today?
Yes.
Okay.
I know, how come on the days I want to talk, you never talk to me, and now it's just like, hey, why don't you tell me your entire life story right now?
Oh, God, this sounds dangerously like a relationship.
We want to hear about every summer vacation you've ever taken.
Seriously.
Tell me about all your inner thoughts. This really sounds like a relationship conversation. We're about, how come on the days that I want to talk, you don't ever want to talk to me, and on the days I don't want to talk, you just won't leave me alone?
This is just making it worse, isn't it?
Well, what am I, let me ask you this, Sarah, because guys don't understand these things.
Yes, it's you.
That wasn't really going to be my question. I understand that there is PMS, which is the premenstrual syndrome, which is code for really, literally just big chunks of you just falling away.
Oh, my God.
Well,
are you
kidding me? Or preparing to. I don't know. Isn't that what the deal?
No.
Oh, this is the lunch hour, too.
Yeah.
You were the one talking about a landfill. And the sewage treatment plant, I think that ship has sailed.
You're talking about like chunks of people falling out.
These are not chunks of people. These are mechanical devices.
We do have this story coming up. My skin was on fire, though. So is it not the actual time that's bad? It really is just the pre-time?
I don't understand
what I'm saying?
I don't know if it's just you or if it's my emotions.
No, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm saying
it's
in a general sense.
That's why it's PMS. It's premenstrual syndrome.
I know, but the actual menstrual, there is no menstrual syndrome, right? Like once the pre part is done, then you're dandy. You're fine.
Is this a regular session we're having here?
I'm just wondering because it does seem, doesn't it seem like we just had this discussion about 28 days ago? This, The
we really need to break.
How many days does this typically last, the pre-section? Just so I know.
I don't know. It's almost Friday, though. You're in luck.
Yes, I can just, I can feel the luck. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do this. Take a break. Come back. Bob Costantini from CNN Radio. Later on, Jim Roop, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine joining us all as, also as well. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, Jen Lane's going to be here. We'll answer the musical question, what is a dude house? And so forth. Oh, we'll also talk, just in like the 21 hours or whatever it was since we were on the yesterday, the email about writing the perfect country song has been flooding in. So we'll get to some of that as well. Like us at Three World Famous Phil Henry Show at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now a new member of the Rick Emerson extended family, live from Washington, D.C., in the stead of Lisa Goddard. Let's welcome Bob Costantini, CNN radio correspondent. Bob, how are you?
Okay, Rick, does this mean I'm in the will?
Yes, it is. It also means that you need to start paying dues to the show. So I'll just, we'll take certified check. Is, let me, here's, and I know we're on a tight schedule there because you've got everybody in your ear wanting to talk about this, but this,
yes,
there is such a thing as cosmetic legislation. And we were talking about this gas thing the other day where there was Jim Roop and CNN. And is the House, is it the House of Representatives, are they the ones that they passed this bill that said you can't price gouge?
Yes, this was passed in a way to show that they were doing something, of course, that would have some kind of immediate impact, because any kind of talk about energy, you know, tends to dwell on, you know, what are we going to do in the long term or whatever. But, you know, the members of the House of Representatives are up for re-election this year, and they don't want to appear to be dithering while, you know, the country is paying $3 gallon per gallon gasoline. So, you know, they passed this bill on an emergency basis, which meant that it didn't go through committee or what have you. And it requires that the Federal Trade Commission set some sort of standards about what is price gouging. There are 23 states that have their own laws, but this would be a federal law trying to set a definition of what price gouging is. They set it, but the FTC would be required.
That was actually going to be my question. Is, I mean, price gouging seems like one of the, what is it, what's gas here, Tim? It's like $3 or something?
$3 now.
It's like $3, and it does seem like one of those you know it when you see it kind of a thing, but I don't even know how you would define it. It just seems like you ought to be allowed to start smacking a guy if he's charging you more than $3.
The House members, you know, just wash their hands of that notion as to, you know, determining what is price gouging. They have just said that, you know, the Federal Trade Commission will decide what it is, and one can assume it would be based on some sort of percentage over a wholesale price, that kind of thing. But I don't know, and I, you know, whatever other states base their laws on, I, you know, one would expect that it would be along those lines. You know, if obviously somebody's paying, you know, 50 cents for something and they're charging $1.50 for it, that might be considered price gouging.
Here's my big problem is that, first of all, I want to pass a moratorium on anybody ever again responding, because they get, the oil companies are the worst with this, the Exxon types, where I'll complain about gas being $3 a gallon and their response is, well, you know, you should live over in Swaziland. It's $9 a gallon there, which is a complete non-response. You know what? They cut people's heads off in Saudi Arabia. It doesn't make it okay for a cop to kick me in the ribs here. You know what I mean?
It's so, 40 cents in Iraq now, too.
How is it that we how is it that we invade the place where the oil is, and then, like, the price goes up? Doesn't that violate some law of Keynesian economics?
Well, of course, the president has maintained, and you know, a lot of experts agree that the war wasn't necessarily about oil, that there were other there were these various factors involved in it, and that's a whole, you know, other 3 days worth of debate as well. The fact that, you know, the insurgency in Iraq especially is also helping disrupt a lot of the oil flow from there. So Iraq is not supplying as much oil as it should be, as well to the world.
Well, as long as the Iraqis have cheap gas, that's really what matters.
40 cents a gallon or so.
I think that we ought to be allowed to, here's the thing, if they're going to continue to price gouge us, I think we ought to be able to actually just physically gouge them. You know what I mean? Yep. Guy wants to charge you $3.50, I'll pay it as long as I get to give him like one good thumb in the eye. All right. Bob Costas.
I'm not sure how to respond to that because
it's okay, Bob.
Nobody at CNN's listening.
I'm a reporter.
You're doing good for your first time.
You're holding your own, Bob.
Sure.
So let me ask you this. Are we going to be speaking to you in the future, or are you, I have to plead ignorance, are you just a fill-in guy?
Fill-in.
So if something, God forbid, were to happen to Lisa Goddard, it'd be a big promotion for you. Okay, well, let's hope. I mean, we love Lisa,
wonderful
but
person, though.
I'm saying, heaven forbid, she's walking down the street and a piece of Skylab hits her on the head. You'd be a great fill-in because you did a great job.
Thank you very much, Rick. I really
thank you, Bob.
I will talk to you soon.
All right, there you go, Bob Costantini, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill in Washington D.C. There you go.
You're good at making everybody feel comfortable.
Well, you know, the Rick Emerson Show tries to be a welcoming place. It's not a staff; it's more of a family.
Feel the warmth.
Yeah, there you go. Well.
I'm sorry for yelling.
Might as well be warm somewhere. It's okay, baby. I'm sorry for saying
somebody can only take
chunks.
So much. I've been taking the brunt of Rick for like a whole week. Just like when I'm a little beaten down, and then you just keep poking at me.
I wasn't trying to poke at you.
I know.
Sarah and I had some unpleasantness during the break. There was a little bit of a blow up during the break. I'm not trying to poke.
I always leave the room, so I have no idea what went up.
No, it's like Tim left it. No, here's the thing.
When I hear that music playing out the door, I go for 5 minutes.
Here's the thing.
I just got a big day tomorrow. I'm stressed out.
And then... No, that thing happened where Tim left the room, and, like, the door shuts, and, like, I'm typing away, and, like, Sarah's over in the other corner of the room typing on her computer, and, like, we're not looking at each other, we're not talking at each other, and there's just that whole oppressive, like...
Yeah, but then Rick did the guy thing. You don't need to act like this, Sarah. Yeah, it was very comforting. Thank you.
I was just saying.
Try to hug.
I'm just saying that, you know, Rick isn't part of the problem. Let Rick be part of the solution. If you.
It's so creepy when you talk about yourself and.
All right.
Logistically, for those who don't know, I sit in the middle. Tim Sarah Dillon on the left, Rick Emerson on the, and I am in the center.
Tim really is the child. Tim really is the kid between the parents who fight sometimes, where it's like dad comes home. Where it's like, mom is real pissed, dad's real pissed, and they each drink a quart of whiskey a day.
It's not because of you, son.
And there's the kid in the middle going, I don't like it when you fight! You know, and that's kind of the Tim and Sarah. And hi, now it's Carol from the front desk again. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
Oh, come on in.
It's the guy with my check.
Oh, he has your check?
Yeah.
Why are you getting a check?
Money.
It's from Fisher. They called me yesterday, and they said they have this check from 4 years
ago.
Fisher
is actually making a profit now, so they can afford to pay people money they owed them years ago.
Yeah, come to think of it, I don't think I got a last time.
They have a big office building that's empty in Seattle that nobody wants.
Retroactively, shouldn't we be paid a little more then?
Wait, wouldn't it expire after like 90 days anyway, though?
They're even thinking of putting a window in the K2 building on Sandy. I saw them down at Home Depot the other day looking at them.
It's good times.
One day you guys will have enough money to have your own phone in here with an extension that I can call you instead of me getting up.
That's far in the future.
That's how I keep my
That's far in the future. All right, thank you.
Do you want to go get my check?
Sure, go get your check, Rachel.
That's fine. Fine, leave the show. Fine, walk out.
Fine.
I don't care. All right.
Well, all right.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's all take a deep breath.
No, it's all fine. No, because the problem is, here, I feel bad. I'm talking about her behind her back.
I don't think you feel that bad.
Problem is, it's there as a whole. No, now I feel obligated. Now, here's the thing. Now I feel obligated to wait for her to get back before I start telling you what the problem is. Because I don't want to be like, Rick, we're talking about you behind your back. You walked out of the studio and he started giving you a dissection. That's not what it's about at all. It's all about increasing the love. I'm going to give her 5 seconds and then I'm going to talk about her. One. Two.
I just heard a door open.
Three. Four.
Maybe she went down to Quiznos.
Five.
She just got some money.
What is that? You're paying her in pennies. She's having to bring it back in a hand truck.
Someday when I have $5, I'm going to go to Quiznos. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
Well, okay. Well, never mind. Ladies and gentlemen, talking to a big empty room. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, the mayor of Ault, which is in North Colorado, I remained in jail today after his family refused to come pay the bail. He was arrested over the weekend. Uh-oh, Sarah Dillon just gave an honorable...
No, I waited. I didn't talk about you.
You didn't?
Oh, you're looking at the check?
Yeah.
It's from Fisher?
Yeah.
What is it for?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
But, I mean, what? I'm not asking the amount, but, I mean, what is it? Like for what services?
It says Fisher... It's for $800.
Why?
I don't know.
Am I going to be getting it? Yeah, I was going to say, people know what you look like.
Oh, it's from the IBEW. It's the IBEW settlement.
My check was like $70.
You're not a girl.
I'm rich.
What the hell is that?
What do I have in my bank account?
You can hire a cab to take you home.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what to do with this much money.
You can buy a late model vehicle.
I don't have to eat week-old meat.
This is the biggest paycheck I've ever had. Ever.
So sad. I don't know.
It isn't even a paycheck.
Okay.
I don't know what to do with it.
Okay, well, go see.
Bend it all
I like
yourself.
How, now listen, let's note here. I like how all of Rick trying to make you feel better. That didn't work. Me telling you how much we care about you.
Feel better.
You're such a great part of the show. What can I do to cheer you up? No, somebody gives you a check, fine. And suddenly you're Pollyanna. Suddenly you're Susanna Smiles. Okay.
Oh, my God.
No, I see where I rank. Well,
I shouldn't have said how much it was for. I might get mugged.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Now, did you get a check from the IBEW?
I certainly did, way back when.
Was it for that much? Was it around? Was it many hundreds of dollars?
Yes.
Was it more than this?
Do I have to say?
No, but I mean, it was.
He got more than 800. Now I'm not so happy.
I was there longer than you.
I got $73.
Oh, but... Just remember.
Oh, but we paid our dues.
Hold it. You used to work for the other Fisher for a long time.
Yeah, but I worked at the Fisher at least as long as Sarah did. You went to Fisher Portland in 2003 or 2?
2002.
I went there in 2001.
Yep. Nobody said life was fair.
Okay, Sarah's check is like 15 times as big as mine.
1998.
But you weren't an electrical worker.
If Bruce Agler is out there, maybe he can settle this.
Were you a member of the IBEW?
Now I'm in a bad mood.
In good standing? Did you pay your dues on time?
They took them right out of my check, didn't they? Isn't that the thing?
No.
I think they did for mine. Yeah, they did.
Sons of bitches.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
This show revolves around me. I am this show.
They're going to totally think this is fake at the bank. They're going to be like, oh, it's not $33? Yeah, right,
Sarah. Now I'm all angry now. All right, fine. All right.
Maybe you ought to call the IBEW or Fisher Communications, whatever they are this week.
Okay.
Our general manager might...
No, it's fine. It doesn't matter to me.
Our former general manager bought a nice house in Palm Springs with his.
I don't need to be... Oh, and they gave her a business card. We should tell people what the IBEW is, by the way.
Call them up and tell them it just wasn't enough.
It's... Yeah, call them up and see if they'll take my call, by the way.
This is quite literally free money. I didn't even... Yeah. Like, I never, ever thought that this was going to happen.
Yeah, for some of us, it still hasn't happened. For some of us, it was $73.
Well, no, because I never got paid after we got fired from Fisher. Like, I was missing a couple paychecks.
Oh, that might be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you also got many dollars. You got hundreds of dollars. I got $73.
But I was here since 1998.
It does... But you did... I thought you didn't even work for them. I thought you worked for Metro.
Well, I worked for Metro, too, in the same building. I had a separate deal.
Fine. All right, whatever. We should tell people, not that it matters, apparently.
The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Yeah.
And Sisterhood.
Yeah, no. Okay. Apparently, I'm sort of a stepbrother, apparently. It's not the international, redheaded cousin.
Cliff Davis, business representative, said I could call him and find out why... Sometime you didn't get money.
Hey, Cliff Davis can eat it. He can eat it long and eat it hard.
I love Cliff Davis.
You're definitely not getting a check now.
Cliff Davis.
I love you, Cliff.
Cliff Davis is my sworn enemy. I will kill you given the chance. Not really. Sort of a figurative death.
You're not going to be invited to the picnic this year.
Okay, we should tell people
Nate
what
just
the...
just wrote me a We're Rich.
We should tell people what the IBEW is. The IBEW is the international... They are the most useless and ineffectual union.
Unless you leave a radio station.
Unless you're Sarah Dillon, in which case you just get $800 and looking pretty.
Useless 4 years later.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe it's just one of those things that has to time out. Oh, today's a great day.
It is.
I mean, now it's a great day. You get paid off, everything's fine. I try to offer emotional support. Doesn't go anywhere.
You didn't offer emotional support. If you would have offered me a hug, it would have been better than...
I'm not going to hug
you. You just stop acting like that, sir.
I tried being nice. That got me nowhere. I thought I'd try the direct approach. No, and you don't want me to hug you anyway.
We're just not a touching people.
No, we're not.
We're actually not.
We're not huggy.
No.
In any way.
We're not really social either, at least around the workplace.
Screw you guys. I don't like any of you.
Nope, we just met after three.
We all hate each other. Yeah, I heard about that. I was working late last night. Mm-hmm. Not that it gets me anything, apparently, from Fisher or anybody else, sons of bitches. But Sean Couples, the engineer, he of the loud shirt, came by last night, and he just did that thing of hanging out my doorway. Like, going, so? I'm all, yeah, so? He's like, yeah. And I'm all like, what? And he goes, oh, you and Sarah were in great moods today. What's that about? And then it was the arched eyebrow.
Because he pulled me aside after the show, and he's like, what's wrong with Rick?
He asked me what was wrong with you, by the way.
Oh, he asked me what was wrong with you.
Stupid, I said he's Sarah.
Just a little crazy.
Yeah, all right.
Well, now I want to know what...
What?
Why are you trying to put me in a bad mood
again? I'm not trying to put you in a bad mood.
$800 to put anybody in a bad mood.
I got $73, you a-holes. All right, fine.
This is like the most worthless show. Let's do something.
It's not a worthless show.
People don't care about our monetary concerns.
This is personal drama. Well, let's see what these people are calling about. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Slice of life.
This is very funny, actually, the realness of this, who got chipped out of cash. I feel like I'm in my own workplace. There's a high level of relatability.
See, now listen to that. Listen to that. All you need, okay, here's, I need you to call CBS Radio Management and tell them that you find that the Rick Emerson Show relates to you and your demographic well.
So does that mean somebody has to be voted off the show?
Yeah, exactly.
And I do have one simple suggestion about how Sarah might spin the bread. Spin the bread?
Spend the bread.
Yeah, get the last phase of the Healing Waters thing that she was due, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe she can buy more therapy with it.
Right, you know that thing she got rinsed out, you understand?
Yeah, no, maybe, I'm sorry, Sarah's on the phone. She's on the phone whispering to someone now. She's covering her mouth, so
I'm sorry.
Can't see.
All right. What should I do with my money?
I buy more therapy.
Oh. Oh,
I'm sorry. Was that me? That just came out. All right. What were you saying? You should do what? She should do what with the money?
At one time, she had some sort of a colonic Healing Waters is the name of the place. And then she was due one more treatment.
That's a great idea.
Think of all the colonics I can buy with this money.
All right. The rest of the story is almost on. See y'all.
All right. Thank you.
More therapy. You
I don't even know who that was.
He said his name was Mud.
Mud. M-U-D-D?
Sure.
I don't really. Yes, it was Roger Mudd. It's Roger Mudd from CBS News. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
I think she should go to, Sarah should go to ShareBuilder.com, sign up so she can buy stock for $2 a trade, and put a quarter of that into Starbucks stock. It's solid gold.
Is this Jim Cramer?
No, this is George Stoddard of Wilson.
Yeah, I know. There was a little humor there.
I'm sorry. I'm
sorry. I guess I'm not funny. That's why I get $73.
You're poor and you're not funny.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, George. Appreciate that. Thanks for weighing in. Okay. Is Sean coming in? Is that what that's all about?
No, I was trying to, and then you were flailing, so I had to hang up.
No, I was just doing a thing. All right. Okay. So... if we called the IBEW, would they tell you why you got that?
You're just going to get voicemail.
Maybe we can...
Because they're out getting everybody work. They're out finding jobs for radio people.
I have a cell phone number.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You should call him and ask him what it's about. Call and say, why didn't Rick get
no,
this
No,
one?
No, no. Leave it alone. Cash it. After you cash it.
After
you
cash it all.
Oh,
don't call right now. You put that in your bank account, then you make a phone call.
You call now, there's going to be a nagging tax they'll take out of it. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Okay, so here's that original story we started with. The mayor of Alt, Colorado, remains in jail. Apparently...
Is that next to Control and Delete, Colorado?
That's what it says. He charges the third-degree assault, domestic violence, and child abuse. They were called over there the other night, and his blood alcohol level was 0.4%.
Isn't that dead?
Well... the machine shut off and would not come back on as if it was broken.
That's fantastic. It's got to feel good when you're actually so drunk that you disable the machine.
This is the mayor. His wife, Jill, said her husband did not assault her, and the couple's 15-year-old son got a mark on his wrist when he tried to take the keys away from his dad. She denies her husband assaulted her. The report that he slammed me against the wall several times is absolutely false. Where did they get it from in the first place? Alt police officer Pete Jones wrote in his report that the authorities have been called to the residents on numerous occasions for domestic problems, which the lady of the house denies.
Okay. Rick, if Sarah needs suggestions on that $800, she can always tell me if she's going to buy some new sexy underwear. I don't even know. I just read them.
I'm going to stick it in my savings account and then go to New York in September.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do not question where that money came from.
I will not.
I'm just going to go to Selwood. I'm just going
to... Doesn't make any difference to me. I've got $800.
I'm just going to go up to Southeast Stark. Doesn't matter. No, it's fine. I'm not bitter. Let's move along.
I don't think the IBEW understands how much money this actually is to me.
It really is like all of our paychecks put together and tripled over the course of like a year. Yeah. It's fantastic.
God, I can pay my rent for 2 months.
See, kids, the exciting world of radio is calling you. Ah, oh, God.
It just falls from the heavens, doesn't it?
I know.
It really does. All right. This is like when you find out you're part of some, like, have you ever found out you're part of some class action lawsuit you weren't even aware of? Isn't there one with PGE right now? Isn't Probably. There some class action? I think I got something in the mail about this the other day.
I got $15 from one of them last week.
It's like,
oh, no, it wasn't PGE. It was the phone company.
Don't laugh.
They owed me money from like 1999.
We have a Max ticket.
I think it was Quest.
Like Netflix is the same way. If you're a member of Netflix, I think they just sent me like $1.87 or something a couple weeks ago. Because there was something they were screwing everybody. It's a great service. But they were like shafting everybody and illegally doing something or other.
I got a check for a penny from Cellular.
Okay.
And I refuse to deposit in my bank account. It's such an inconvenience.
It's like a matter of principle.
I have to go all the way to the bank to deposit
it back. F you. All right. Okay. Good times. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Now, I got to get Sean. Is Sean in the engineering room?
No. Nobody's there.
He's not?
They all went to lunch.
Hey, Sean Couples. Sean Couples from KCMD Engineering. If you're out there, either come on in or call. I've got a cell phone. I could call him right here, I guess. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse. I have an interesting idea for Sarah, which you could use that $800 for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesse.
Okay.
<Uh-oh>.
Yeah, apparently it involves building a death ray of some kind.
Actually, no. I work for Twan's Ice Cream and Frozen Foods. We could deliver food to her house for like a couple of months for that.
I'm not a big ice cream person, though.
Well, I like how suddenly you've got so much money, you've just got all these options. Suddenly you just got...
That's pretty nice,
Oh, come
actually.
On. There's like 400 products in there. It's like, you know, steaks, fish, chicken, vegetables.
Swans.
So of the back quarter of the catalog is ice cream.
Is it like the Schwan Man?
Yeah,
it is. We used to get Schwans back. I used to have money. Schwan's is good, actually.
To think about.
You guys have good ice cream. That's the thing I'll say about
Schwan's.
I love
their chicken cordon bleu.
We do have that.
All right. Do you guys deliver milk, too?
We do not.
Because, you know, we used to get milk. When I was a kid, actually, we used to get milk. There was like a milkman who would come by.
Actually, Curly's Dairy is still doing that.
All right.
And they should be here in Portland somewhere, too. But
it's turning into an episode of The Waltons.
With the Burma Shave signs.
I was going to say.
Hey, Gonzi.
Guy was going to come by. Can I bring me some 20 Mule Team Borax as well?
Hurry
and a straight razor.
Hurry before Grandma has a stroke.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
You bet.
Hey, is this Jesse with the hot wife? Girlfriend? We'll never know.
I thought he was going to say something about placentas.
No, that's exactly. I didn't even know if it was that Jesse or not. That's what. That's we'll find out. Hold on, let me call Sean in engineering. Hold on a second.
All right.
You can just talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I found a really disturbing article.
Just count your money. All right. Calling Sean Couples in the AM 970 engineering. See where he is in the building. It's clear. Hey, Sean, it's Rick. How are you? Hey, are you in the building? Are you coming back from the building? All right, when you come back from the building, would you just pop on into the on-air studio, please? Great, thank you, sir.
Just barge right in.
All right, there you go. Just barge right in. Pay no attention to the on-air light. Apparently, it's just for decorative purposes anyway. It doesn't really mean anything.
Should we break?
That did sound kind of grumpy. All right.
Well, folks, just
I love you, Cliff Davis. Thank you for providing for me what Rick cannot.
It's okay. I've seen Cliff Davis. I don't think he can provide that. He's not paying me anyway. What do I care?
$73. He's paying me. That's what I'm saying. What are you doing to me that I don't know?
You've already got the check in your hand.
It's not in the bank, Rick. It's not in the bank.
All right.
I'm going there right after the show. I don't trust it.
This is how much we all respect the union.
I'm gonna cash
running
it.
Right to the bank before they can change their mind and void the check somehow.
I'm going to cash it and then hide the money in my house.
In a mattress.
In a mattress.
Stuffing it in a pillowcase.
I'm going to sleep in $100 bills tonight. Only 8 of them.
That's fantastic. I've always wondered, here's what I've always wondered. If somebody writes you a check and you cash it and take the money and take it home and you're like, ah, it's mine, and then it turns out the check is no good, what happens?
Well, the check already goes, they put it through that little zip, like zippy thing.
Oh, I guess they verified. They must have. Yeah. They must confirm it now, because I guess that's true. They have that Vera check or Vera sign or whatever it is. All right. So I guess. Okay. So well, I guess you'll know. All right. Well, good times. And here's the frustrating thing about that $800 check is, of course, I paid that. That's my union dues, basically, that I forked into that useless goddamn organization.
That's true. You paid for a year longer than I did. Thank you, Rick.
That got me nothing. Nope. Bupkis is what I got from that. Would you like to know how many jobs the union sent me on when they fired us? Tim, how many jobs did the union send you on?
It didn't matter. They sent me a check, too.
I hate you. I hate you all more than anything. More than words could possibly say. Yes? Thank you. Jerk. All right, fine. Fine. I'm moving on. As management would say, I'm moving off of this subject now.
Can I buy you a cup of coffee, Rick?
Can you spare a dime?
Why don't you buy me a big cup and shut the hell up, huh? Huh? All right. Don't go anywhere. It's Rick Emerson Show. We are live and relatable. Right here in Portland, Oregon, as part of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Here's the Ramones. Don't go anywhere.
Open up the medicine chest. I don't wanna grow up. I don't wanna have to share the death.